This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
As we celebrate 200 years since Louis Braille invented the reading and writing system for blind and partially sighted people, and with the RNIB's Braille 200 campaign, raising the profile and awareness of Braille to both visually impaired and sighted people, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we are chatting with some people who are Braille users to find out what Braille means to them in this wonderful year celebrating 200 years of Braille. I'm delighted to say that Willow Freeman, who is Global Innovations Product Manager at the American Printing House for the Blind, joins me now to tell me what Braille means to her. Hello, Willow, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So, Willow, you obviously sighted, and this is quite an interesting one, but when did you learn Braille and why did you want to learn it?
Okay, so I went to Berea College here in the United States, which, you know, your listeners may or may not be familiar with, but it's a college that is free for people that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to go to college here in Kentucky, where I live. And it mainly focuses on Appalachia, and it's about 150 years old. And I knew kind of just from how I was raised and from going to the school that I did not want a career that was focused just on making money. You know, like I could never imagine myself like working at a bank or for an insurance company or something like that. So I wanted some kind of job that had meaning. And I was looking for that job. I graduated in 2008 when the economy crashed. And so I waited tables for a while and I had an English degree. And I saw this posting from the American Printing House for the Blind where they would teach you Braille. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a job posting that said English degree preferred. That's not a very common thing to see. And so I applied, and it just so happened that while I was in college, I'd been a teaching assistant. And as a part of that job, I'd checked people's citations. So to make sure they cited things properly, they put their semicolons in the right place, their periods in the right place. And that was seen by the people interviewing me as similar enough to how Braille works that they would take a chance on me. And that was how I got hired. And I immediately I was super excited. I couldn't wait. I love reading. I love literacy. And so I was really excited to learn the code. Previously, I never knew anything about Braille. You know, I only saw Braille at like ATMs and elevators and things like that. And I mentioned that in my interview. And I quickly learned that it's a lot more complicated than it initially seems. It's not as complicated as I think some people think it is. Like when you tell people that you can read Braille, they're like immediately impressed. They're immediately like, "Oh, wow, how did you do that?" And I think anyone can learn Braille. I think a lot of people are intimidated by Braille, but I think anyone can learn it. And I think there's a lot of people in our field that have not learned it. I think you get this, it's a common like, "Oh, you know, I've been meaning to," and it's like, you've been in the field 25 years. Go ahead and learn Braille. Like, I think you should probably know it by now. But anyway, it took about 3 months for me to learn it. And I think that's relatively fast. But it was 3 months where all I did every day, you know, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, was learn Braille. And we have the certification test here in the United States. I took that test and I passed on my first try. I only had 2 mistakes. I was very proud of that. And then I started my role as a transcriber here at APH. And the interesting thing about being a transcriber is it doesn't take that long to learn the code. But it does take a while to actually become a proficient transcriber, just because of all the formatting rules, having to learn the software. Those things are actually, I think, more complicated than the code itself.
Yeah, because I think some people think that Braille is an easy thing to learn. And I know, as you say, you learned it very intensely in about 3 months. But for somebody who's blind or partially sighted, sort of wanting to maybe start learning Braille, how would you sort of advise them to do that? And what are sort of, I suppose, the sort of best tips that you could give to somebody?
I mean, learning Braille tactily So I read Braille visually, and learning Braille visually is much easier because you're not having to rely on this tactile sense. But if someone wanted to learn Braille, I think the key is to just start trying and start with uncontracted Braille, start with simple tracking exercises. APH has a number of apps that can help in that regard. They do require that you have a Braille display. And I know in the United States, our national library is giving away Braille displays. So it's becoming much more common. I don't think they're done. Not everyone has a Braille display yet, but it's much more common for folks to have a Braille display. And that may or may not be true in the UK, but having a Braille display helps because then you can connect to your screen reader, you can use these apps, and you can just incorporate reading uncontracted Braille with audio. And so you have the audio support from the screen reader. And then I think just sticking with it over time, you will get better and better. I can read Braille tactily somewhat because, you know, I do feel it's important that I have some of those skills, but it's not the primary way that I read Braille.
Yeah, because I think some people will learn Braille and think, oh, I've got to be able to read it proficiently and I've got to be able to write it really fast. And I think some people who've probably learned from an early age are probably quite good at it. I learned Braille 20 odd years ago, or maybe actually relearned Braille 20 odd years ago. And I would say I'm using it now. I'm reading my questions and notes to you from a Braille display and I use it every day, but I'm probably not as fast as some people. But I think that's the thing about Braille. I think sometimes people think, well, you've got to be able to, you know, sort of stand up in front of people and read something really well. But I think it can also be a method of, you know, sort of marking sort of things in your kitchen and stuff and things like that. I've got folders here at home with all my sort of, you know, household documents, and I've put Braille labels on it. So I know what the folders are. I know where to put the pieces of paper. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that you sort of, you know, you have to be a sort of fantastic reader and writer of Braille. Braille can help you in so many ways, can't it?
Yeah, I think so. I love the idea of, you know, just using it with labels and things like that so you can get used to Braille and so you can get that benefit out of it. You know, part of what I love about Braille is my like love of literacy, just generally. And so I think everyone should be allowed to read in the medium that works best for them. You know, like the tools should be available so that you can learn. And then once you have learned it, you should be able to take advantage of it. I especially think students, you know, so children that are in the school system should be taught Braille. Like I think your teachers, especially, you know, a lot of times in the United States, there are children that have some vision, but because of their diagnosis, it's pretty well known that they're going to lose a good chunk of their vision as they get older. But sometimes those children aren't taught Braille. They wait until the child needs Braille to teach them. And I think, you know, if you know a student is going to need Braille in their life, you should go ahead and start teaching them Braille. But for adults, especially for folks that have gone blind later in life or lost their vision later in life, I think whatever medium works for you is the one you should use. So I think taking advantage of Braille and using Braille, but I also think audiobooks and using your screen reader is another way that folks can access material. I do think there's some shaming that happens for folks that only rely on audio, but sometimes, you know, that's the way for you. And it's whatever way works for you, I think that you should be allowed to access your materials.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, it's all about that thing. I mean, I use speech on my computer and stuff and things like that, but I also use Braille for, you know, sort of my interviews, but also in meetings, if I'm taking notes or I want to read my notes and stuff and things like that, I can do that in Braille. And, you know, I can do that without, you know, sort of hearing lots of audio going off in my ears, because I think as blind and partially sighted people, we live in a world where there's lots of audio going on, and it's quite nice to be able to read something in your own voice through Braille and be able to sort of not have all that noise going on around you.
That's a great point. And, you know, I'm sighted. I even will take notes on my Braille display while I'm in a meeting. And part of what I like about it is both the speed that I can take notes, whether I'm using a Perkins style keyboard, you know, the Braille style keyboard or a QWERTY keyboard, But I also like that most people can't read my notes. So most people don't know what I'm writing, especially, you know, if you're negotiating with someone, you don't want to be taking notes on a big pad of paper or something and they can read what it is you're writing and know what it is you're thinking about things. So it's a nice advantage to have. And definitely if you're presenting, I've presented with a lot of folks that are blind, and having those notes in Braille is the way to go.
So to sum up, Willow, what would you say are, the most sort of two or three important things about Braille and the benefits of Braille for blind or partially sighted people?
I mean, it activates a different part of your brain than audio. So it is, I think, easier to grasp and to retain than just having it fly by really quickly via audio. It helps with grammar and formatting and spelling in a way that audio does not. And it really gives access to the world. I grew up very poor and I loved books because, like, I didn't get to go anywhere. You know, I stayed in my little part of the city that I lived in. And with books, I was able to see and learn all of these things that I couldn't physically go and do as a kid. And so reading, to me, I mean, it changed my life. I got opportunities that I never would have gotten. Like, I'm where I am in life today is because I read so many books when I was a kid. And so I just think anybody that wants to learn and love reading should be able to do it. And real quick, something interesting, I think, about reading Braille visually. So a lot of people that read Braille tactily read the shape of the word. So you're not just reading the cell under your finger, you're reading the whole shape of the word and using some of the context there to read it. And that's similar to the way sighted people read print. You're not just reading the individual letters, you're kind of reading the shape of the word. And so I read Braille visually, and I actually, especially when I was a transcriber, I was reading Braille more than I was reading print. And I got to a point where I would look at print words and it would activate, the shape would kind of like activate in my brain as though it were Braille. And I would briefly see a different word because the shape of the print would like trigger the shape of what a Braille word would look like. And I would very briefly think I was seeing a different word. It happens especially with all caps. And so anytime I see all capital letters, because, you know, they have that block shape that's similar to Braille, it would kind of like trigger in my brain as though I were looking at Braille cells. And it took me a while to figure out what was happening, because like it kept happening and I was like, what is going on? Why am I not able to read? And I now that I know what's happening, it's just sort of a little funny thing that I enjoy when it occasionally happens.
Well, that's an amazing thing to hear. Well, thank you very much indeed, Willow, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio as we celebrate 200 years since Louis Braille invented Braille.
Yeah, thank you.